are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Can you think of anything finer than wasting some online time with these two? Can you?
It's the kind of movie where the sword budget was higher than the pants budget.
You know what he is? He's Ray Romano, but dirtier.
It's a cat and mouse game, okay? The mouse's parents have been killed. The mouse has been raped. And the mouse's home has been burned to the ground. Now, guess who did all this?
The cat?
Yes.
Say that, friends. It's time for Movie BS. With Bear and Snyder.
Pitch me.
Pitch me.
Ginger Quill.
No, the pants are too wet and they're too shiny.
Tom Cruise is what I would like to say, Crazy Cruise.
I'm going to change the story to Robert Pattinson killed a clown.
Sir, as you know, my unit is the very best.
Without these two, you won't have a clue which movies to see. So tune in every week. That's right. I said tune in weekly.
Hello and welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. I am your host, Jeff Bear, and this is your co-host, Eric D. Snyder.
Hello, welcome to the show, brought to you by OneOfUs.net. I'm Eric D. Snyder, that over there is Jeff Bayer, and we're going to talk about movies for you. Just as a service, the service we provide is to talk about movies.
Typically free of charge, mm-hmm. unless you're one of our patrons yep. at Patreon, who decide to do nice things, such as give us $1 an episode for mm-hmm. our hard work. Thank you, you guys.
Thank you very much. You know what we should do? We should start doing like a patron of the week, like do a little spotlight. Do like, here's a patron, what their name is, and like what their favorite flavor of ice cream is. And
like, in other words, like stalk them on Facebook and find out all about them.
Oh, that's even better.
I was to tell everybody.
I was going to suggest doing it with their help, but I like your idea even better. We just stalk them and just say whatever we can find out about them.
That's right. Whatever public records are out there.
Yeah.
You people.
It's what they get for supporting us.
Right now,
serves them right.
You have to email us and tell us you do not. You're in an
That's
undercover
right. if you,
protection
if you
program.
Wanna, if you want to opt out, let us know. Otherwise, next week, we're going to reveal all your personal information.
That's right. We're going.
No,
we're going to attack.
No, just kidding. We won't. You know what we are doing, though? For reals.
What's that?
We're gonna go be at an awards show.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend, you guys. Sunday? Sunday.
That's right. December 11th, mm-hmm. Sunday, Eric and I will be at the Critics' Choice. I guess now it's the Critics' Choice Awards. It used to be the Critics' Choice Movie Awards, but then their TV branch mm-hmm. hopped on board.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now that's it. It's the Critics' Choice Awards.
They thought, how could we get possibly more famous people to show up at this thing?
That's
I know.
Right.
TV Awards.
There we go.
And you've been several times before.
I think I have been five times.
All right.
I think five times.
And you went with your wife. One year, for some reason, you went with our friend Chrissy. I don't remember why you went with her or why she went with you.
Did everybody hear those jealousy tones?
Well, I was trying to think back. You must have offered it to me first. And I must have just not wanted to go.
No.
No?
No.
You chose her before you even offered me a chance?
That's right.
That doesn't sound right.
I'm pretty sure.
That doesn't sound well then my feelings are hurt retroactively. Now the reason you're able to go to the Critics' Choice Awards is because you are in the Broadcast Film Critics Association, the BFCA.
Yes, I'm in the BFCA, so then you can bring one guest with you to this award show.
It's like a Golden Globes thing, right? We're sitting at tables eating dinner.
Yes, we're sitting at tables eating dinner. There is typically a giant bottle of champagne in the middle of the table, and there's a open bar, and there's a lovely food. Wolfgang Puck normally serves mm-hmm, some mm-hmm. like tiny trinkets of food.
Right.
And
I don't want to complain in advance. but I bet it's not enough food, is it?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. After party is when you'll have plenty of food.
Oh, plenty of food at the after party. Okay. All right.
So that's you kind of plan accordingly where you're like – it's almost like the cocktail hour and the actual award show. Mm-hmm. You're going to be having appetizers. Think of it that way. It won't be. Like you'll have a small piece of meat or fish or whatever.
All right.
But it'll be small enough.
Right.
And then after it's just like, oh, my gosh, In-N-Out is here. Like or whatever the case. Like, just tons of food typically.
And this is all – I'm reading the press release. Oh, it comes from the Barker Hangar in Santa Monica.
It's a giant airport hangar.
Named after Bob Barker?
Yeah, sure. No.
Sure, probably.
And I would say 20% of it is where the cocktail and after party are. Mm-hmm. And then the 80% is just this huge thing. We'll be in the very back of the room.
Right.
Like barely noticing anybody. And then, yeah, during commercials, if we want, if we feel we can stand up and then mingle and say hello. Mm-hmm. There, in general, I've had polite, quick conversations with Will Forte, Brad Pitt, George Clooney, Tom Hanks, Quentin Tarantino, Albert Brooks, Jeff Bridges. There's moments where you really do end up hanging out with a Bunk from The Wire.
Sure.
He planned my New Orleans vacation.
Well, that was nice. That was nice of him. And to repay him, you didn't even learn his name.
He's no. Bunk. Come on, he's Bunk.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the list here. Of course, anybody who's nominated could show up, conceivably. But the list of people presenting, those people will definitely be there. And
yes.
I mean, theoretically, probably.
Right.
And so I'm looking at the list, and I'm trying to see if there's anyone that I would be excited. Like, there's no Bill Murray's or no Steve Martin's in here.
No.
Nobody that really excites me. But there's a few that I would enjoy chatting with if I had the opportunity.
Just the presenters? We're referring to only the presenters, right?
Well, that's what I'm looking at right here. Like Amy Adams. Love her right now. I mean, you know, yes. Always like Amy Adams. But also, what I also noticed that James Marsden will also presenting, and that's an Enchanted reunion. Remember that movie Enchanted, where she was the animated princess who came to the real world?
Yes.
It's her and James Marsden.
I thought you were going to actually tell me a story about how you and James Marsden had hung out before.
No.
And now, isn't this so Enchanted, you guys will be together again.
I want to talk to Amy Adams and James Marsden about an Enchanted sequel. I want to get them together.
Wait a minute. I think that's happening.
Well, then I want to get all the details about it from them.
Nice. Ty Burrell went to Oregon, just so you know.
Like you just visited Oregon?
No, University of Oregon.
Oh, went to the University of Oregon. Gotcha.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry.
To Oregon.
Yeah, it went to Oregon. What – like I don't – Justin Timberlake, I guess I would – this is what I've noticed.
Hmm.
There's plenty of people that my first go-to thought would be like, ooh – Do you have a Saturday Night Live story?
So for how me? It relates to Saturday Night Live? Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, there's plenty of people. I mean, yeah.
JT. I don't know what I would. Justin Timberlake. I would probably there'd be two. He's done too many things that I wouldn't know where to begin with him.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner, on the other hand, I would like to know how he feels about being the least important and least attractive Avenger. Like, does that weigh on him? Does he take it personally that everyone knows that he's the least handsome and the least important?
I would like to console him by telling him that I really appreciated his Bourne movie.
Well, you should be there to swoop in with that right after I hit him with my thing.
I'd like to tell Leslie Mann that I was a little intoxicated last time we talked, and I might have been flirting with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to tell her that. That I'm sorry.
I would like to go up to Leslie. Actually, you probably have a long list of people that you need to apologize to from previous years, don't you?
At some point, I will put you in charge of like making sure that you know I'm not being
too drunk,
gregarious. I think I'll say that instead of drunk.
Okay.
Yeah. Just you know, it's on the radar.
I want to ask Leslie Mann. I would like to go up to Leslie Mann and say, no, that's not how I would do it. I'm going to go to Judd Apatow and say, aren't you Leslie Mann's husband?
That'd be good.
Because she probably gets the reverse all the time.
Right.
We'll come back to the list over the course of the show. But yes, you listeners, if you want to watch the show, it'll be on Sunday. I know it'll be at 5 Pacific time. Is it going to air live on the West Coast or will it be tape delayed?
I think it actually does. Air live.
Actually live, it's, live?
Yeah, I think it does.
All right.
I could be wrong.
Yeah, there's no way of knowing.
Nope.
But we'll be there, and that'll be fun, most likely. We'll tell you all about it next week.
Yes.
In the meantime, let's review some movies. Some movies that are not nominated for Critics' Choice Awards. Oh, one of these might be. Is Miss Sloan nominated?
It's not nominated.
Hmm. Because she's, what's her name's pretty good in it, Jessica Chastain.
She's very good in this movie.
Hey, we should let's review that movie right now.
Should we? Okay, let's go for it.
We're here. We've got the equipment.
And in 3, 2.
Miss Sloan is the name of a lobbyist. It's the exciting world of lobbyists. She, Jessica Chastain, Elizabeth Sloan, as we meet her at the very beginning, she's at a Senate hearing. There's been some trouble of some kind.
That's right.
And she's testifying, and then, we jump back in time to 3 months earlier, see what's going on. There was just a movie about, what was the one with Sandra Bullock? Our Brand is Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I don't know if she was a lobbyist exactly, but same kind of thing, a political political spin and
right.
and all that. And this story of Miss Sloan, the gist of it is there's the gun lobby, the NRA, needs to get more women supporting guns. And they come
it's
to
untapped demographic, mm-hmm. pretty much.
And so they come to Miss Sloan at the agency she works at. Her boss is Sam Waterston from Law and Order.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not want to disappoint him. I would be very, yeah. I'd be very sad if I ever disappointed Sam Waterston. But the NRA guy comes in. He's like, "Well, we need you to help us sell guns to women folk." And Miss Sloan literally laughs in his face.
Yeah,
that's
kind of when you're like, "Oh wait, is she going to lose it or do I like her? Which way is this going to go right now?"
She is a great character because she's always the smartest person in the room. And that drives her crazy. She can't restrain herself. She does not suffer fools gladly. Mm-hmm. And she'll be – there's a scene in the hearing where she keeps pleading the fifth and John Lithgow is interrogating her. And you gather that he knows by her personality that he just has to keep needling her and finally she will not be able to be quiet anymore. That mm-hmm. you'll finally be able to get her to bust out, and then she gets herself in trouble because she can't keep her mouth shut. And it's great. I think she's a great character. I love how smart she is. She's smart, doesn't take any nonsense from anyone.
And not only that, cold, calculating, like brutal at times with like her intelligence. It gets the best of the rest of her.
Her focus is to win. Like if you hire her to help lobby for a particular to get a particular bill passed or whatever, she wants to win, and that's all she cares about. And she's somewhat ruthless, somewhat not always 100% ethical in what is already inherently a unethical profession. Like it's by its nature, it's sleazy. And I guess there's certain rules about how sleazy you're allowed to be in the rule of bribing officials.
She's on a team that we want to win eventually.
Because, yes,
and that's the really cool – led by Mark Strong's Schmidt, I think is his name.
Yeah, Rodolfo Schmidt. Yeah. What winds up happening is she leaves the lobbyist agency she's at, goes to another one to take the anti-side of this upcoming gun, or I guess no, it's the pro side for some new gun violence. It's a gun violence bill.
It's
a universal background checks.
Universal background checks.
Right.
That's what it is.
So she leaves. The NRA hires her company to support it. She leaves, go to another company that's going to take the opposite view. And so now she's now working against her former coworkers, which is interesting because they know all her tricks and secrets, and they know how to push her buttons.
Yeah, there's people that have been with this company for years. They know her so well. They know her ins and outs. And it is that battle of wits where there's some lovely turns here that you're not really prepared for. But that's – like better than that, it's just – it has to be the best version of lobbyists. Like there's no way that lobbyists in the real world are like this. But I don't care. I don't care how much fictionalization is going on here because – all of these actors are doing pretty good work with Jessica Chastain really nailing it. I loved this program
and
this performance.
And it's a really fun story, all kinds of double crosses and espionage and skullduggery among with the back and forth of these two competing lobbyist firms. And it's funny because the musical score is the musical score of a more serious political drama, maybe. But it's at its heart, it's a cheesy soap opera. It's really a ridiculous thing, but it's played very seriously, but also very comical at times. It's funny to think, if you read the plot on paper, you're like, this is ridiculous, this is hilarious. But the movie often treats it seriously. And it gets into some serious issues about political money and cynicism and how it all. It definitely has some timely and relevant thoughts about political influence and the corrupt system and whatnot. But it's really jagged, witty dialogue. And Chastain, like you said, is great. She's kind of reckless and glib and unpredictable, which makes for a very fun character to watch because you don't know what she's going to do next.
The manipulation of people, and even some of the like Second Amendment conversations are worthy of like listening to. Mm-hmm. Whereas you don't normally, again, on paper, you just the quick description, you're like, what? Two lobbyists going after the Second Amendment and gun rights? Well, I don't know.
And all this,
Pep. There's a lot of pep and a lot of energy that moves this movie through.
And all the sneaking around and lying and tricking each other is all just so ridiculous, but very entertaining.
Yes. Very, very entertaining.
Very fun to watch.
By the way, directed by John Madden, who did The Debt, which
played
I really
football.
Liked.
I remember he was a very popular football player.
Underseeing The Debt, but also way back when he did Shakespeare in Love, Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Alison Pill plays one of her former co-workers. Gugu Mbatha-Raw is one of the new ones. Michael Stuhlbarg's in there.
With different hair.
different hair for him, yeah.
Different hairstyle, just new like hair. Caught me off guard for a little bit.
What I like about watching Miss Sloan, the character, the woman, is we're watching her slay. She's just being fierce and just taking control of everything. But we're also kind of waiting. Because the other thing about her is she's popping pills, like some speed pills. She doesn't really sleep. So we can
Not listening to a doctor's advice. Yeah. Like there's, yeah.
So we're waiting to see, okay, this is all going to crumble somehow. Or we're waiting to see what is behind what made her the way that she is, like personality wise. And I don't want to talk about where the movie winds up going with that, except to say that I like what they do with it. I like the details that they do and don't give us about her backstory and her character, and I like everything that she winds up doing. She's a very enjoyable character to watch.
Agreed completely. This movie, the title Miss Sloan, it just like I didn't see a trailer, of course. I just kept being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And getting more and more addicted to the story as it went along. Like I just kept feeling like it was that upward momentum. Mm-hmm. And that's very surprising to see from a film, period.
Yeah, I agree. Very enjoyable stuff, Miss Sloan. I give it a B+.
9 out of 10 for Miss Sloan for me. 9.
It's BS approved.
It is.
So Jessica Chastain will not be there. She's not nominated for anything, is she?
It's a shame.
So, I mean, she might show up just for fun, but probably not. She's probably got better things to do.
I hope so.
Well, unless she's maybe she's dating a film critic.
Oh, maybe she'll be
someone's plus one. She won't be there. I saw another name, though. Oscar winner, Cuba Gooding Jr. At first, I thought, right. I have nothing to say to Cuba Gooding Jr. Then I remembered I do. I want to find out. Several years ago, I believe it was the movie Snow Dogs, when Snow Dogs came out. And it was terrible. And one of our local critics in Portland, it was David Walker. He was at the Willamette Week then. He's now writing comic books. He writes the Shaft comic book now. He was a film critic at Willamette Week then. And I need to find out the details. Somehow, Cuba Gooding Jr. became aware of David's terrible, scathing Snow Dogs review. Mm. And I think, like, somehow Disney or maybe Cuba himself called David's boss and chewed him out or something at the paper. Somehow he got involved. So I want to ask Cuba Gooding Jr. what he remembers about the Snow Dogs incident with a Portland critic. Because apparently he got involved personally somehow. I think that's hilarious.
Are you going to get kicked out of this event?
Well,
is that like a secret goal? Do I need to know that now?
That's not really up to me, is it? No, I'm not going to get kicked out of anything. I don't like to make a scene. You know, I'm not about making scenes. You know that. You know that.
I do know that. I do.
But I picture Cuba Gooding Jr. going around to each critic who hated Snow Dogs and like personally chewing out or like yelling at their boss or whatever.
But how long would that have taken?
Would it have taken so long? He's probably still doing it.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else is on the list here?
Two that are nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy Series for TV. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Kate McKinnon.
Julia.
Did I just say something else? You think I said Julie.
No, you said Julia, but then you said Louise.
Oh, that's right.
Which a lot of people say. You want it to be Louise, because that's a woman's name.
Yes.
But no, it's Louis. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. I would love to meet her. She's a legend.
She's a legend.
I don't even know what I would say to her other than I love her.
And again, like, immediately my thought is like, well, is there like a 80s SNL story? Can she like, oh, I know what I could tell her. I wouldn't tell her anything. I would just say that it was so enjoyable for her to watch her and Jerry Seinfeld talk on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee about their joy. Like, their joy just, like, seemed very obvious to be with each other again and to reminisce about Seinfeld. And it made me love Seinfeld that much more. Not him, but the show.
Right. I want to talk to her about the show called, I think it was called Watching Ellie. And it ran for, like, a season and a half around 2003 or so. The first season, the gimmick was that it was in real time. It was 22 minutes of real time. It's a sitcom. And there was one, Steve Carell was on an episode or two. And there was a great line that I still think of often. Steve Carell played a guy named Edgar, and she was telling him.
How do you, good God?
Because that's the joke. She's telling him about, people named Edgar. It's such a dumb name. She's making fun of the name Edgar, whatever. And he says, well, what about Edgar? And he names some famous good Edgars or whatever. And she says, my point is, you're a horse's ass. And I've always remembered that great line and her perfect Julia Louis-Dreyfus delivery.
Yeah. That is good. And Kate McKinnon, I she's a treasure. She's a current treasure. She's one of those people that I'm disappointed I don't get to just hug anybody I want to hug in the world.
Yeah, I would love that.
Because I would want to just give her a big old hug.
Thank you. And she's probably very funny to hang out with.
She probably is.
She seems like the type.
Let's talk to Will Forte, who's nominated.
Okay.
And let's talk to him and see if he's going to be at Sundance for the MacGruber party.
Let's not mention that I quit watching his show.
Okay.
Last Man on Earth. Let's not. I watched the first season and the first episode of the second season.
Eric,
and then I just sort of forgot about it.
It's actually like you're putting bullets into my gun and handing me a bottle of booze and telling me not to shoot that gun.
Well, If it comes up, it's going to be you bring it up, and you'll be the one who will feel bad.
And Jeffrey Tambor. I would like Jeffrey Tambor to insult me.
You wanted someone else to insult you, too. You need to have
– Andre Brower and Jeffrey Tambor. Those are the two that I want to talk me down.
Okay, that's fine if you do that, but you need to have the insults prepared for them. You can't expect them to also come up with the insult.
I would say something about perhaps you could comment on a very large feature
that's
about
not
my ears.
No, because then they're put on the spot. Now I got to come up with a funny insult on the spot. If you want to give him the line and just to hear him say it, I think that would be cool.
Oh man, that's a lot of work for
me. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeesh.
They're not our dancing monkeys. Just
They're not our dancing monkeys, but they're other people's dancing monkeys at other times. So then, why can't they be ours for just one simple minute?
They're the world's dancing monkeys.
I could see Alec Baldwin being there, considering he's nominated for Best Guest Performer in a Comedy Series, and he's got a good chance of winning for his Trump on SNL.
I'm sure he is not fun to talk to, if you don't know him. He does not suffer fools gladly.
No.
He is not – I mean, if we happen to like get him in the right mood and we happen to say the right thing, that would be cool. But there's no way – the odds are strongly against us that would wind up going well for us.
What about Peter Dinklage, Game of Thrones? Would you just simply say, I don't watch that show?
I remember Peter Dinklage. I met him before he was big at Sundance with the station agent. He wasn't famous yet. I chatted with him there briefly.
All right. Let's be honest here for a second. Can we get real?
Yeah.
Robin Wright from House of Cards is going to be there.
All right. So I need to be on high alert to keep you away from her.
Thank you.
I'm on it. I'm on it.
Okay.
Especially once you get tipsy and fawning. No.
I'm already going to start the night fawning over a tiny handful of people. There will probably be like six people that would be like, oh, that would be so neat to have a tiny little moment that I appreciate and maybe they wouldn't mind.
Like most of the nominees are shows that I never watched or that I started watching then quit.
That's all you got to lead with,
bro.
That's all you got to say to him.
Hey, Kevin Spacey, loved the first about season and a half of House of Cards. Five seasons. Wow. Huh. Really?
I could explain to Carrie Russell that she's partly the reason that I was an RA in college because of Felicity. I could do that.
All right, next up. You know, some of the people from this movie will be at the thing. This movie, Office Christmas Party.
In fact, the host of the whole shindig is T.J. Miller, and he's one of the 2 to 4 stars of this film.
Sure. Yeah, he's in it. Do you remember the time? I know you don't, but do you remember the time that we, for some reason, went to Applebee's by the Lloyd Center and the bartender looked like T.J. Miller? Me and you and I want to say Chris probably sitting at the bar, and he was really funny. He was a funny bartender server guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Looked like T.J. Miller.
Yeah.
Wasn't him, though, as it turns out. That'll be if I talk to T.J. Miller. I say, hey, did you know there was a bartender at Applebee's in Portland that looks like you?
Or you could just be, did you and work?
And he'll be like, oh, I hear so many stories about that guy. Office Christmas Party. Like a lot of Office Christmas parties, it goes on too long and it's not very well organized and it's not as fun as it thinks it is. But it has its moments.
It has a lot of moments, I would say. I think I laughed a good bit during this movie, even though it ran out of steam and surprisingly recovered a little bit after an hour.
I laughed a lot too, but it is such a sloppy. I don't know if you noticed this. 6 writers are involved. Three writers for the story, and then 3 totally different people for the screenplay. Which means behind the scenes, it was just like constant rewriting, and by committee. And it really shows because there's a bunch of characters in this that are clearly like sketch characters. Like, hey, what if the Uber driver, it was her first day on the job and she was obsessed with whatever? Oh, hey, what if the pimp was a woman and she was like really chatty and folksy? Or, you know, little things like that. And some of them are funny, but it doesn't come together in any kind of cohesive whole at all.
No, and in all honesty, like the party's over, I think. I mean, I'm assuming it's about an hour and a half, right? It's a little longer than an hour and a half.
It's a lot longer than an hour and a half.
It's an hour and 45. Oh. But, like, I think the party aspect of it, which you assume is the whole, like, movie and the whole point, because they're trying to get Walter Davis, played by Courtney B. Vance, to save their company by landing a contract. And the way that they decide to do it is in this world of no fun anymore, corporate downsizing, like, no bonuses, all of that kind of stuff, we're going to throw the best Christmas party ever. And this guy, because he had a scotch with his lunch at noon, is old school, and he'll love it, and he'll give us his million-dollar business.
Just to summarize there, the plot, the one that took 3 guys to come up with, is that this branch will close unless they impress one of their clients with a rockin' holiday party. Yeah. We have to throw a great holiday party to save the company. And Jason Bateman is the sardonic manager, and T.J. Miller's his irresponsible boss. He's basically doing his character from Silicon Valley. And then Jennifer Aniston is the ball-breaking CEO, and she and T.J. Miller are brother and sister. They inherited the company from their dad. Like that basic dumb story, fine, but then all the adornments, all the side plots with all the employees. Like there's one, Vanessa Bayer plays an employee who hooks up with a coworker who turns out to have a mommy fetish.
Yeah.
And that's kind of amusing, but that's a sketch. That's a comedy sketch.
It's a sketch.
Kate McKinnon is doing an SNL character as the HR lady, who's funny, but again, not a real person and kind of out of place in this movie that is otherwise populated by real people, not SNL characters.
Sam Richardson plays a regular office guy who then pretends to be somebody else and
to be a DJ.
Is the DJ at the party.
There's lots of really funny people in the movie. And so by the law of averages, there are lots of laughs. Rob Corddry is in there.
There really is a lot of laughs, and it all feels one note, and you don't know if it doesn't feel like one thing is going to lead into the next when you get a laugh.
It's the opposite of one note. It's all over the place.
Sure.
I guess what I meant was it's
one note at a time.
Right. Yes. We'll do.
and then that note is gone.
It's like they're just free associating different kinds of comedy and different kinds of things that might be funny. And many of them are, and many of them aren't. The subplot with the dork in the IT department who has been telling his coworkers he has a supermodel girlfriend, so he hires a prostitute to be the girlfriend for the party, is such a stupid plot.
It's such a stupid plot.
Not very funny.
And, And it's just an excuse to get other creative characters into the mix, I guess, in that like later half hour of the film.
The old accidental ingestion of drugs plot device where someone accidentally gets high. Always a classic.
But like, I thought T.J. Miller was kind of impressive in this role.
He's
because
funny.
He even had a couple of moments where he's a dumb guy.
Yeah.
But his love for the company or his love for the idea of company and family and all that was kind of cool on occasion to see.
Yeah, and he
– It was.
One thing that made me laugh that he said – and this is an example of the randomness of it, the scattershot. His sister's making fun of him for taking 6 years to get his bachelor's degree. And what was it in? And he says it was Canadian television theory with an emphasis in Drake. Or yes. Concentrating on Drake or something. And that was funny. But again, random. And then the outtakes, we see he did, you know, several of those. I'm sure he wrote that line himself. Like that was not none of the six writers had that. That was him. So it's all just put some funny people together and some funny stuff will happen, but it's all such a big sloppy mess. And the big, we didn't mention Olivia Munn, who is also funny as Jason Bateman's potential love interest there at the company.
And the hacker who might save the company with an idea.
That overlong, that prolonged conclusion that involves having to save the internet is not funny and doesn't make a lick of sense in like in real world kind of ways at all. And it was back to the title, Office Christmas Party. That's the title you put on it. We're like, hey, we should make a funny movie about an office Christmas party. Okay, what should we call it? Just put Office Christmas Party as a placeholder. We'll come up with a real title later. And I bet each of the six writers thought it was one of the other five's job to come up with a title. But that's a sign of we didn't try very hard. We didn't really put a lot of work into this, you know? And it should have been 20 minutes shorter and tighter and all around better. It's off and on funny, but just so sloppy. I give it a C+.
I'm giving it a 7.
You can do whatever you want. You don't have to like it the same amount as me.
I didn't. I laughed enough, even though I did not care about where the story was taking me. It just kept hitting enough funny notes for me.
Yeah. I need more discipline. I expect better discipline from my comedy. That's all.
Really?
Really,
Anchorman?
I was just going to say the second half of that sentence. Or it needs to be hysterical.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's what makes up for it. You can go with sloppy if it's hysterical. And
that's right.
Yeah, Kate McKinnon will be there from that, T.J. Miller. Jennifer Aniston won't, right? She's not on the list now.
Best actor. Just look at best actor. So I assume all of them will be there, actually.
For which means movie actors?
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, I feel like, can't we squeeze out, like, one unknown story from, like, the Five Timers Club or something? Like, how often does he watch it? Or, I don't know, something?
Basically, what you're saying, you just want to talk to everyone about Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. I want to ask Denzel Washington if he was surprised that he was able to get a great Denzel Washington performance out of Denzel Washington for the movie he directed, Fences.
Mm. Sally Field from my Hello, My Name is Doris.
She might be there. That's a might.
I hope she's there, and I'm going to tell her first that I'm glad she's on Twitter now, and I follow her. And also, I loved Hello, My Name is Doris, and I was quoted in the poster because my review, I wrote the review for Vanity Fair.
Nice work.
Yeah, so I want to tell her, hey, I said nice things about you. Will you love me now? Please love me, I'll say to Sally Field.
Oh, boy. Best supporting actor. I need to see how big Michael Shannon's hands are. I'm sorry, I do. I need to shake his hand and see if he's got the most giant meaty paws, because that's what I assume from that man.
Oh, really? Is he tall?
I think he's tall. Isn't he tallish?
I don't know. I never noticed. Well, for an actor, yeah, maybe.
Michael Shannon. I think he's my favorite actor right now.
He's a great actor. I never noticed his hands.
I just assume they're giant.
But why do you assume? He's 6'3". He is a tall guy.
Okay.
Is that why you assume?
I assume, like, two of my fingers is one of his fingers.
Well, see, but why would you assume something about someone that you've seen his hands? Like, you have no reason to assume. You could just look at his hands and see if they look big.
I guess somehow I've decided he has big hands and I want to confirm.
Okay. All right.
He's got to have a hell of a handshake, that guy. I love Michael Shannon.
Just don't get too handsy with him.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him one of those elbow handshakes.
Oh,
My left hand's going to get his elbow.
Right, right.
Good one. Oh my gosh, Ben Foster's going to be there. Oh.
I like him too.
Oh, wait. He and Robin Wright, were they? They are. Weren't they?
Maybe.
I think they were or are. Maybe.
Well, we can find out.
Greta Gerwig.
Oh, I like her.
I would just say hello.
Ben Foster, I'll ask him if he remembers the time that he and I in Las Vegas stood next to each other looking at sharks at whichever casino hotel there has the big shark exhibit.
Nice.
It was at the Cine Vegas Film Festival. Just chilling looking at sharks, me and Ben Foster.
Oh my gosh, the really little kid from Lion.
Oh yeah.
He's going to be there potentially. He's nominated for Best Young Actor.
Oh, nice. Hey, speaking of Lion, let's do that one.
All right.
Let's review that one right now. Lion.
Lion.
This movie is interesting for a couple of reasons. Well, for many reasons. One of the reasons is that the actor who is top billed as Dev Patel, top billing in the film, doesn't appear until 53 minutes into it. It's half over. And I wonder if that's the record for top billed actor latest appearance in the movie.
I feel like we've had this
we looked into it specifically for Oscar nominated performances.
Oh, okay.
But as far as overall, I certainly can't think of a movie where the top billed actor didn't show up until an hour into it.
Well, then in my
that's true. This must
deduction
be it,
of logic. There we go.
This
Lions
is the
in
one.
The clubhouse. It's the winner so far, unless somebody can unseat it. So that's what I knew about Lion, Dev Patel.
Yeah, me
and
too.
He's been solid, but I feel like I know his range as an actor. That's what it's felt like to me in the performances that I've seen. I know what he's capable of doing, and I was kind of it was like, all right, I'll see Lion.
He was in Slumdog Millionaire. He's in those exotic Marigold Hotel movies, which I didn't see. So I think and Last Airbender. That and Slumdog might be the only movies I've seen that he was in. He was in The Man Who Knew Infinity. I saw that. Didn't leave much of an impression on me.
That's right. And here's the really nice thing about this. As you say, he doesn't show up until 53 minutes. I stopped waiting for him because of how absolutely absorbed I was in this film.
Yeah.
The story is a 5-year-old kid, this little Indian boy. He gets separated from his older brother. And this kid, I believe it was an 8-year-old who did the performance. Just a fantastic kid performance. Just, you're not going to see much better than this.
Sonny Pawar as young Saru, young 5-year-old Saru.
Yeah, and Saru is he's a go-getter as a 5-year-old.
He's a great little kid,
He's desperate to prove he's strong enough, he's good enough. He's able to help the family as best he can. And there's a drive in him that is just fantastic. So he convinces his older brother to do this like harder job and get separated.
I'm getting separated and winds up 1,600 kilometers away from home, now in Calcutta, this giant, giant city where they also speak a different language. He speaks Hindi,
a different language.
And they speak Bengali there. And so, yeah,
and
a 5-year-old lost, doesn't know anything.
Five?
Oh,
he's
my
five?
Gosh. And he's living on the streets at first there right away. And apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently the streets of Calcutta are like a Dickens novel where kids just being snatched off the street right and left.
And
nightmarish of
not many people in Calcutta actually want to help the children that are on the street.
Apparently. So just a terrible situation and
it's devastating, guys.
It's a nightmare. He's waiting. Oh, is he going to be safe? Who's going to take care of him? And then finally, he don't worry. He does. He ends up being okay. He gets rescued. Winds up being adopted by an Australian family, an Australian couple.
Played by Nicole Kidman and Game of Thrones? Is it Game of Thrones?
David Wenham. You tell me if it's Game of Thrones.
It's from something. Oh, close. Mm. Lord of the Rings.
Ah, sure.
There we go.
Gets adopted by them, Saru does, and life goes on. And then, you know, he grows up to be Dev Patel.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
Life goes on. They are, hands down, the greatest adoptive parents in the history of cinema. And I was so happy about this. Like, it was one of those necessary things where and you know what I'm noticing about Nicole Kidman, who I bet I would run out of things to talk about with her in real life in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
She has this weird knack for showing a lot of compassion and caring in her acting, and this weird kind of love where when you look at her, you assume like Ice Queen or whatever the fact can be. And there is this spirit that she's able to portray in this movie and in others that I've seen that is just quite surprising, and I'm drawn to it, and it's lovely.
That's true, because she does in real life, she seems like she would be terrifying. Terrifying and cold.
And not only that, I don't know what I would even want to talk about with her. I would
Tom Cruise. I'd want to talk about Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise, I guess that, yeah, if she'd be willing.
And Milan Rouge.
And they take on another kid as well.
Yes, adopt another Indian kid.
Yeah, and their second kid has some trouble, as you can imagine, even though their first, Saru, is
Saru's pretty well adjusted for having been what he's been through, but yeah, this other kid is not.
It is really about the human spirit, this film, but at the same point, it's about how there is a certain amount of luck with that spirit. It doesn't find everyone. It's a difficult thing to be able to hold on to. And even then, the second half of the film, half of the film, when it is Dev Patel involved in this movie, it is the searching and wondering of what occurred in that childhood.
He wants to find his family. The whole thing is he doesn't the name that he remembers as being the town he lives in is not the right name. He's misremembered it. You know, he was five. Give him a break. So he's trying to find that. Thanks to the invention of Google Earth, is how he's finally able to sort of track down.
Zooming in, wondering, trying to piece things together,
looking at railroad stations and everything,
and kind of how that can get under your skin and really take over a thing.
You get obsessed with it because he's got this new life now in Australia. He's a college student, but he's also sort of haunted by his past, and he's tortured knowing that his mom and his brother never knew what happened to him. That's the worst. Yeah, like they never knew.
I feel like 2016 films, I don't know if I've shed more tears during 2016 films in my entire life. I doubt it. I very much doubt it. I think this is the winner. This is another one where just unexpected at moments, tears, because of the sadness, because of how lovely some of these moments are. And to the point that I was making earlier, Patel shows some range here as an actor that I hadn't quite seen before, and it is a really good performance, and that was really nice to see. Rooney Mara it feels a little standard.
She's his Australian girlfriend or whatever.
Australian girlfriend who's trying to understand.
Right.
Like, you know, it's that simple thing, and
it's based on a true story, by the way. The real Saru and a man named Larry Buttrose.
Don't, Eric. You make things up. It's not
his
that.
Name is Buttrose. Buttrose. Maybe it's Buttrose.
By name,
Saru and Larry Buttrose wrote a book of it, and then it's been adapted to a movie. The fact that it's a true story is also amazing. And also, one other thing that I love about this movie is that we can't tell you why it's called Lion.
That's right.
When the movie tells us, it's great. I'm just going to leave it at that. This is a terrific one. This is the time of year. Finally, we're getting some terrific movies. After I gave
terrific.
Remember how I gave nothing but C's all year long to everything?
Nothing. Every single movie was a C. Mm-hmm. I remember it well, Eric.
And now finally we got some good ones. And I give Lion a B+.
You're wrong. It's a 9 out of 10. Mm.
BS approved, though.
BS approved. Again, maybe if you had kids, you would understand why it's a 9 instead of a B+. But, I mean, you know.
Maybe I do have kids, and I put them on trains to send them 1,600 kilometers away. Get out of my hair.
As soon as it was like, hang on a second. Are you kidding me? Like, New York to Chicago kind of distances we're talking about here?
New York to Chicago, but where they speak a different language in
Chicago.
Where
they speak a different language. It is five.
Where they're snatching kids off the streets. even when he's in the government facility, apparently pedophiles can just come and check out a kid for the night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Oh, Lion. Let's talk about Loving. Loving is great. I like Loving.
What about the movie, Eric? Mm. Let's talk about the movie Loving.
Movie's also good. This is the story, another Boats movie based on a true story.
Boats.
Of the interracial couple in Virginia whose case eventually led to the Supreme Court getting rid of the laws that said that black people weren't allowed to marry white people. Because there were laws that said that in some places.
That's right. Like Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Virginia.
And this is, Richard and Mildred Loving. They're like his name, actual last name, was Loving.
Perfect name for the case and for the movie. Joel Edgerton plays him. Joel Edgerton, who is Australian, is he not?
I thought so.
He sure is. Well, he sounds Virginian here. And Ruth Naga plays Mildred. She's Ethiopian Irish.
Yes.
Born in Ethiopia. Is. And we begin in, it's the late 50s.
It's fairly quickly. It's a standard, nice, loving relationship. Mm-hmm.
Very gentle pace.
Very gentle.
For the movie. At first, if we didn't know what the movie was about, we would have no idea what the movie was about.
Completely.
Like, there's no conflict. The first thing, the first thing we see is close up on her face. She's telling him that she's pregnant, and he's happy. His friends, he's got friends who are black guys. He races cars and they help him work on cars and stuff. And there doesn't seem to be any like racial friction or doesn't even seem to be an issue. Like when they say they're going to get married, none of her family are like, oh, better be careful. Everyone's just like, oh, all right.
Yeah. It is up to you, the audience, to realize, there's probably going to be some trouble here.
Which,
because otherwise there's barely anything tainted with racism, as you were saying. And it is just, a really, like really simple with, I mean, Richard especially, simple people.
Mm-hmm. He does not say a
Richard
lot.
Richard is not the brightest bulb, but he's a good, solid, caring man.
He's a good, decent man. And he evidently suspects there's going to be trouble. First of all, because they drive up to Washington D.C. to get married instead of doing it there in Virginia. But then also he tacks their marriage license up on the wall next to their bed.
Yeah.
Which turns out he was right, because sure enough, the cops come and roust him out of bed in the middle of the night.
Oh my gosh.
For being married to each other. And I know that this happened, but I cannot believe that this happened, 60 years ago, less than 60 years ago in the United States. Of course, there's lots of things that happen now that
and then again, right.
Surprised.
Maybe we can't believe it.
Happening still,
maybe
or happening again.
Right.
I was anxious for that section of the movie. I was anxious for the racism section of the movie to be over with.
I was anxious
just because
for this
it's so ugly, right. And the persecution and the mean Southern sheriff or whatever he is, cop, who's got him locked up. But I know that's all accurate, and I don't fault that. It's just so unpleasant and so anxiety inducing to watch.
Well, and you do sit in it because it's not a heavy dialogue movie. There's not a lot of grandstanding speeches.
No.
And in fact, I would say for me, one of the things that kind of detracts is it really does just focus on the simplicity of them wanting to care about each other. And it like I kind of was waiting with this film. And I thought I was going to be, getting it as far as well, there's going to be some court battles here. There's going some legal issues here. There's going to be a lawyer who's going to get like jacked up and excited to be able to defend this, or at the same point, hate the idea of it. And what we get is a fairly steady paced film about a couple that, you know, it's a matter of, sorry, you can't be in Virginia together. We're not having you. And them still wanting that.
Well, because they have to leave the state, which is fine, except that both of their families are in Virginia. So they want to go back to Virginia.
Most importantly, Mildred performed very well here. I mean, this is the acting highlight of this film. Joel Edgerton is a good, solid performance, but there's not a lot to Richard that is compelling.
No, but I agree that she is more the focus and her performance is better. But I think his performance looks like it has less to it than it does. But I agree that Ruth Negga is better. But that character too, Mildred, also doesn't say a lot. A woman of few words, but she's willing to get out there and to make the case for their marriage.
Well, and the key for her is, and you do believe it, she is a small town girl who desperately wants those things that she's grown to appreciate in the small town, including her family, but other things as well, like a yard and things like
right.
That you believe that focus for her, because otherwise this would be a film where and I had it on occasion in the back of my mind where I'm like, look, I get the world is awful. I get all of this that the movie is showcasing for me. But does she, this is so terrible to say.
I can't wait.
Does she try her best in new situations, or does she drown in depression, which is a very reasonable, understanding thing to occur? But there is that element that you can see a little bit here.
Well, yeah, the life in rural Virginia is the only life that she's known, and where they when they have to leave the state, they wind up living with relatives in the city in D.C. There's no yard and not safe. One of the kids getting hit by a car was sort of an obvious, sort of hokey motivation to okay, we've got to move back to the country. But I also like that she does not become a strident crusading character. And usually these movies about situations that wind up going to the Supreme Court, you expect the people involved to be more militant about it. And she, and they aren't. And she definitely wants to have justice, but she is not out there crusading or giving speeches or marching or picketing. They just want to be together. And I think it's so telling that when the lawyer is going to go to the Supreme Court and asks Richard, what does he want him to say to the court? All he says is tell him that I love my wife. Like, that's the whole point to them. All this stuff with politics or laws or anything else doesn't matter. They just love each other and want to be together. And they're not interested in constitutional challenges or anything else. They just want to be together.
That's why this is a brilliant moment in our history, a very caring and touching moment in our history. I wasn't completely taken in with this film.
I was taken in, but not totally. I think it's a really good movie, but not a great one. Yeah, I'm not sure what it's missing. Just that last bit of oomph. But it's good. I mean, I'm giving it a B plus.
I'm giving it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, all right, a little bit lower than
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
That's loving. All right, so those are the movies. Miss Sloan and Office Christmas Party in wide release this week, and then Lion and Loving are out floating around here and there.
Limited.
Mm-hmm. And hey, if you want to watch something on DVD, there's some new ones. Don't Think Twice. That's BS approved.
It is BS approved, and I need to see it a second time at some point. So maybe I can do that in the convenience and comfort of my own couch.
Mm-hmm. Which is where I saw it the first time, too, now that I think of it, on a screener. But yes, I want to see that movie again. Jason Bourne.
One of the best action movies of the year.
You were the one person who liked that movie.
Yeah, because I like Bourne. Whereas everybody else
is like Bourne, too.
Oh, is he still Bourne? He's still doing those Bourne things?
No, everyone was glad that he came back after, what's his name? Numbnuts took over for a film.
And Mr. Renner?
Yeah. Oh. And then the real Jason Bourne came back, and then the movie was boring.
I got Jason Bourne already. Uh-huh. They sent it to me. It's the first 4K that I've ever owned, but I don't have a 4K Blu-ray player, so it's, but still,
so
it's there.
So some of the Ks are lost on you.
Some of the Ks are lost on me.
Other People is out. That's worth checking out.
It is.
From Sundance, about the one of the Cancer Mom movies. Molly Shannon is really good in that.
She is really good in that.
And Landry from Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, the Hollers.
It's not all right.
Secret Life of Pets, not good.
Garbage. Sully is out. If you missed Sully in theaters,
There's a reason to see Sully, and it is Tom Hanks. That's it. You're hanging out with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, and at home would be the right price for that.
Mm-hmm.
To see that. Oh, and the BFG.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
It was. Let us never speak of it. So that's the show then for this week. We're excited to go hobnob with celebrities.
We are.
To rub their shoulders or their elbows. Rub whatever we rub. To rub Michael Shannon's hands. We look forward to that.
Wherever you are in the building, when I shake his hands, I'll be like, Eric, you gotta come over. You gotta shake this guy's hands. I'll do that for you.
Will I be very far from you, though? I'm kind of shirking my duty to keep you from getting too drunk if I'm, like, across the room.
That's true.
Early in the evening, maybe, but no, once things get going, I'll be on you.
Yeah. Keep in mind, people, historically, I've never been kicked out of anywhere. I've never, like, come on.
You were kicked out of a casino.
No, that's not true. I was asked not to gamble anymore.
I thought they asked you to leave.
No, I misunderstood.
Okay. Fine. My bad.
You throw one menu across a table. That's the perfect pass. Anyway.
Miss Sloan is really good. It's BS approved.
It's really good, people. Like, it might have snuck up on you, but go seek this movie out.
Mm-hmm. Office Christmas Party, not very good. But when it's on cable later or on DVD or something.
You know one thing we didn't mention? It's pretty R.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yes,
it,
quite.
It earns its R and then some.
True. Lion. Wonderful. BS approved.
Oh, my goodness. So good. The tears.
Make you cry. And Loving, I liked more than you did.
You did.
But, you know, that's okay. We can have differences in this crazy world.
It's allowed.
Mm-hmm. For now.
It just dawned on me that I gave Office Christmas Party a higher score than Loving.
Aw, poor Loving.
That doesn't
poor
feel good.
Loving. So that's it for this week's show. Until next week, for Movie BS with Bear and Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Bear.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.
Now, Loving. I really want to know how the main actress in this pronounces her last name.
Hmm.
It's too...
Oh, man.
Right? I'm trying to see if there's... I don't know. Nega?
Niga?
Niga?
Should we say Niga?
I would like to say it the way she says it, but I was hoping there'd be a pronunciation here on IMDb.
Maybe not on IMDb, but maybe YouTube has... Wikipedia or something. An interview.